pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Well, very good afternoon. Welcome in. It is Thursday, and really glad to have you on. Story that came up yesterday about Saban giving an interview, piggybacking on what he had previously said, has gotten enormous attention. There have been some tepid criticism of why Nick Saban said what he did. A lot of other people have simply said, why shouldn't he speak out? He's got every right to explain the real reason why he left Alabama. And I think most people could sense, even back when Saban initially retired. Remember, he did not give a press conference, which was unprecedented, but he did give an interview to his about-to-be employer, ESPN. But you know, he seemed to indicate at that moment in time that it wasn't one specific reason. It wasn't NIL, it wasn't this, it was just time to move on. He was worn out. And then the interview started coming. And it's very interesting to digest what he said originally and then what he said in the ESPN interview with Chris Lowe. I've been combing around for various reaction, and quite frankly, we did not get much of an opportunity yesterday to really get into it. But I want to do that today a little bit. We have a couple of guests. A lot of basketball going on. Tournaments, women's tournaments are underway. The men's tournaments are starting in some places. So this is not a day full of heavy news items. But I happened to find one piece, and I haven't looked at this website in a long time, by the way. I used to read it pretty religiously, but things change. But I found a headline in Deadspin, article by Sean Beckwith. Headline, Nick Saban retired, so why is he acting like he was forced out? Subheadline, now that the world isn't set up to bend to the former Alabama coach's every whim, he reveals himself for what he always was. That was a fairly intriguing headline. It accomplished enough for me to want to read it. I'll read you a couple paragraphs and we'll get your reaction. For those who hope Nick Saban retiring would be the end of Nick Saban, this idle, jilted version of him might even be more insufferable. In an ESPN story about how Alabama pivoted from Saban to Kalen DeBoer in 49 hours, the seven-time title winner revealed that, quote-unquote, player attitudes in the NIL era contributed to his departure. I was really disappointed in the way that the players acted after the Rose Bowl. You got to win with class. You got to lose with class, Saban said. We had our opportunities to win the game, and we didn't do it. And then showing your ass being frustrated and throwing helmets and doing that stuff, that's not who we are and what we've promoted in our program. This is the author now, Beckwith, saying, all right, so let me get this straight. Saban can light up coaches, players, and officials during the game, yet once the final whistle is blown, it's all water under the bridge. Just compartmentalize it and move on. Never let them see you emote. Not only is there a five-minute-long Nick Saban rage compilation on YouTube, but what's classy, the author writes, about retiring from college football and then going on a scorched earth tour of everything that, from the way it sounds, didn't lead to his retirement, but forced him out of the game. Sorry the courts didn't rule in favor of upholding a system that Bama more or less had a monopoly over, Nick. Just take the loss like a man, accept the results, and stop slamming your head against the wall. The next quote sure sounds like someone who's royally pissed that his players don't have to be blindly loyal to the program anymore. This is a quote now from the ESPN article. I thought we could have a hell of a team in 24, and then maybe 70 or 80% of the players you talk to, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me, Saban said. Quoting again, our program here was always built on how much value can we create for your future and your personal development, academic success in graduating, and developing an NFL career on the field. So I'm saying to myself, this is Saban talking now, maybe that doesn't work anymore, that the goals and aspirations are just different, and that it's all about how much money can I make as a college player. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's never been what we're all about, and it's not why we had success through the years. This is the author now. The gall of the guy who received a raise anytime another program gave out a contract that was more lucrative than his to bring up compensation is wild. The reason Saban had success through the years is because he's a great coach and he owned the power vacuum. It's a lot harder to treat players as disposable when they can do something about it. Back in November, Saban lamented that the transfer portal is tougher on Alabama than other schools because, quoting now, we don't lose our best players. We lose the next best player. The guy that's been in the program for 2 or 3 years, he's really a good player, said Saban. Good special teams guy, a backup. But he goes somewhere else and starts for somebody else. This is the author now. Oh, boo-hoo, your 3 and 4 stars are no longer forced to waste away on the bench and spend their last days of football covering kicks and holding clipboards. How about the comments from a group of 5 coach who liken their program to a farm system? We are a farm system, said Jamie Chadwell of Liberty. No matter who you are going to have to try to hold on to your top players. That gets taxing. We are taking the approach that if a freshman plays and he does well, we are only going to have him for another year. This is the writer again. If I recall, Jermaine Burton, the leading receiver for the Crimson Tide last season, transferred to Tuscaloosa from Georgia. How about a running back, Jamar Gibbs, who was at Georgia Tech before Saban turned him into a first-round pick a couple of seasons ago? So Saban, writes Deadspin, can take other programs' best backups and or best players, yet when it happens to him, it's upsetting the competitive balance. Tricky Nick went to Capitol Hill in June to lobby Congress and his buddy Senator Joe Manchin, to fix the transfer portal and regulate NIL money. That didn't work a lick. The NCAA is now in shambles, but yes, player frustrations, NIL money, and a lack of devout loyalty strongly influence Saban's decision. Oh, and by the way, writes Deadspin, Saban is going to be plastered all over ESPN as part of College Game Day, and I'm sure his now co-worker Pat McAfee will continue to happily pay him hundreds of thousands in exchange for interviews. If he wants to join the media, writes Deadspin, that's fine. Just know no one feels sympathy for his plight, and all this bitching about the transfer portal and NIL money only demonizes the people he alleges to support. As far as I can tell, the only sore loser here is Nick Saban. This is an article by Sean Beckwith in Deadspin, and my question is he justified or not? Is this just some guy out trying to make a name for himself, or is this legitimate criticism? And is this the beginning of the new era for Nick Saban, that now that he is in the so-called media, will he be subject to a different level of critique? We have a long way to go here on a Thursday afternoon. We'd love to hear from you at 855-242-7285. We're right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back, and Logan is first up here on the show. Go right ahead, Logan.
Hey, Paul, I had to call in. You know me. So did I, man? Is he working for Deadspin now?
Apparently.
So, I mean, I got it. I mean, there's parts of that story that are true. I mean, but it sounds like a guy that's just really pissed off.
Logan, you there? Apparently, we lost Logan, so let me try to go to Ricky next. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Paul, I just wanted to call. It's been like a year and a half since I called, and I know you have a lot of Rickies, but this is a different Ricky from California that I want to respond to Charles Barkley.
Okay.
Real quick about black men.
Yeah,
you know,
Barkley gave a comment. Help me understand exactly. It was something about Trump. Is that right?
Yeah, but, you know, as a retired Marine, you know, we're all free thinkers, and we should be free to wear whatever we want. I know he went on a show this morning, his show, saying he didn't really mean that, punching random black men. But, you know, you just got to be responsible with your comments, you know. And I just wanted to respond to that as a black man and retired Marine, you know. I can wear whatever I want to wear, you know. I'm not going to say who I support because it's at a political show. I'm in Alabama. You know, I'm from Alabama, not California. Like I said, retire, stay here in California. But, you know, that's just irresponsible. That's all I wanted to say.
I agree with you. Barkley's a friend of mine, but people have the right to wear and express their political views any way they want. Thank goodness they're able to, thanks to the service of you and your colleagues.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my phone call, Paul. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you very much. Rick is up next. Hey, Rick.
How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, I just want to chime in on the article you just read, Paul. I actually read it yesterday. I'm a high school coach in Pennsylvania. I've been coaching 40 years, and I've been a pretty successful coach in several different sports. But there are times that I moved from one school to the other because the culture had changed, like a different AD, different administration. And for this guy to write an article about Nick Saban not understanding coaching and not understanding when you have a certain culture or certain philosophy and you can't, you know, thrive on that or things have changed, it makes it difficult for a coach to stay there. And I just want to support Nick Saban and say I thought the article was a little BS. And for people that have never been around coaching for a long time, when the culture changes and it goes against your philosophy, it's hard to stay in that coaching situation.
No, I think you're right. And I think especially for someone who has done what he has done with a nearly perfect methodology, as you know.
Yes. And I don't know why anybody, like, they're bucking him. It's like, this is his culture, and he's done a great job with it. And I just think when, you know, I learned a long time ago from my former basketball coach, all right, have a philosophy, stick to it. And then when things, when you can't do it that way, then you change as a coach and the kids see that. All right. And I think you lose the program anyways. But I just wanted to give you my thoughts on when the culture changes as a coach. I've always moved on, and I don't blame Nick at all.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Johnny B is up next. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. I almost had Rick when I was coming down the road and you were reading that. You know, way back I said that I thought NIL and the portal came about in order to break that stronghold that was mentioned in the article where they've got, you know, players 2 and 3 deep on the bench. And then, you know, the times we've mentioned on the show, the times that the players have to be coached a different, softer way and all that. Do you think, you know, I said it the other day, kind of kidding, just because they canned Eli, you don't think that maybe they approached him about, you mean, you know, maybe you're going to have to change the way you're doing things, and if you can't, we're going to have to move on? I mean, you don't.
No. I don't think there's any chance anybody approached him. I mean, first of all, the program had not slipped. Yeah, maybe it had slipped from a position of winning national championships every other year, but, you know, I mean, don't forget, he came in second. Well, 3 years ago, he came in fifth last year, and he came in fourth this year. I mean, that's hardly Billy Napierville.
Well, I mean, there was just details that he overlooked that just didn't seem like him. You know, like,
well, but here's what you have to think about, Johnny. When you're, I think the person that saw this, whether it was a slippage or not, and yeah, it may have been a imperceptible slip. I think the person that saw it was Nick Saban. He may have known that his methods were under attack. And I think what the writer is saying, and is that Saban is trying to have it both ways. I'm not really sure I know what I believe right now. I really would like to talk to Saban before I came to a conclusion, because sometimes quotes can be taken out of context, but I think the problem is that Nick Saban, you know, he has done his post-mortem in drips and drabs instead of getting up there, which I think he should have and everybody else has always done, and face the media and talk about it on the first day and get the story out. He's done this kind of piecemeal.
Exactly. I mean, I would have expected a much more graceful exit with a big fanfare type thing and all that, not just...
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I know nobody wants to criticize Nick Saban, but I found it unconscionable that Nick Saban did not do what every coach in the history of mankind has done, whether they retire or get fired, and that's, you know, give the media some respect. Nick Saban's never respected the media that covers him on a daily basis. Sure, he respects ESPN. He respects the big guys, but he's never respected the rank and file who have always kept that program alive.
I just think the fans would like it, and it would put a lot of this, you know, stuff like this that's brewing up to bed if he would just do something like that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you're right. Well, Johnny, thank you very much. Okay, I think we got Logan back. Logan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. What I was just saying was I think the writer had a bone to pick with Saban, and he really waited a good time to get it.
Well, Logan, he didn't wait a good time at all. The interview came out yesterday, and he reacted immediately.
Oh, I thought that interview had been around for a while. So that's interesting. Okay, well, what I was saying yesterday, Paul, I mean, that's the reason that Saban retired. As soon as I saw that Tennessee case come down, I was like, that's the reason Saban retired. Listen, man, I'm a Saban fan, but let's be honest. His advantage was recruiting. That's what he did. He was a better recruiter than anybody else. Things have changed now, and things pass people by. I mean, I can't see Saban adapting at his age right now to
let me offer this about Nick Saban. I mean, he adapted to a number of things throughout the years.
He did.
But when you're when you have the strong fundamental beliefs, and he did, That's it's one thing to adapt from a different style of defense or a high, you know, you go from a traditional pro style offense to to you know, playing everything in space. I mean, that's just adapting with where the game is. I don't think he could adapt to the current player. And the fact that he mentioned the attitude in the locker room, I mean, I don't want to say, where have you been, Coach Saban, but I've been around these locker rooms for 40 years, and today it's completely different than it was at the beginning. And that's just an environment. That's just the culture of society today.
Yeah, it's totally different. And, I mean, you look at the old coaches like General Nealon. You know, he retired. He doesn't mean he wasn't a great coach, but he didn't make the jump. Like, Bear Bryant had gone through many different
I mean, think about this. The two greatest coaches of the last 30 years are Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. One got fired.
Right.
The other one retired within 24 hours of each other. They're the same age, and there's commonality between the two.
Exactly. And, I mean, you think about it. I mean, it is, like you said, I mean, you were saying that day that when that judgment came down, it's a whole different game in college football now. And Saban is not, he's not cut out for that. So that made sense to me when he said, I'm retiring. It totally made sense. I mean, it's a totally different game. I mean, you have to recruit your team every year. You can't just get recruits and say, oh, they're going to be here for 3 years, 4 years. You have to re-recruit your team every year, and I don't think Saban was into that. I mean, that's what I got from his comments.
Well, so, hey, thank you very much, Logan. We'll take a short break. Much more to come. You want to give us a ring? We're open for business for the next 4 hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome you back, and Bash is up next. Hey, Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Same thing like Tuesday, Paul. I got to get to the arena to work the Nuggets and Celtics game, so I appreciate you getting my call in so quickly.
Of course.
I don't have a question today, Paul. I just have a message I want to send to one of your esteemed callers, if you will allow me.
Go right ahead.
So this message goes out to good old legend. You have absolutely lost your damn mind. You rip-off copycat version of Ric Flair and Elvis Presley. You're going to come on this show and say, I'm the Nick Saban of Paul Feinbaum callers. Get the hell out of here, legend. There is only one goat of Paul Feinbaum callers, and that caller's name is Tammy. The only thing that you're the goat at is supporting the worst American sports teams. You support the Baltimore Orioles, the Indianapolis Colts, and, oh yeah, the Boston Celtics. Now, Paul, I need you to do a favor for me. I need you to call your friend Nick, tell him to call his friend Dana, tell him to set up an exhibition match so that me and Legend can settle this in the octagon so I can introduce him to the Bash. What is the Bash? Stands for Badass Submission Hold. You have three options when you're in the Bash. You can tap out, you can pass out, or my personal favorite, Bash Out, which is a combination of the two. As you're tapping out, you are slowly slipping into unconsciousness, into night-night, which is exactly what is going to happen to his Boston Celtics tonight when they go up against the reigning, defending NBA world champions, the Denver Nuggets, Paul. Thank you very much. And one more thing. Shut up, Deadspin. You are an irrelevant media outlet anyway. I would never work for you even if I had nowhere else to go. You have absolutely lost all credibility with this one hit piece on Nick Saban. Get lost. You're an absolute worthless media source, and I hope no one pays any attention to you. And, Paul, have a great day.
Elmo is up next. How are you, Elmo?
Well, that was very educational.
Yes.
Let me add two more callers to your worst caller list.
Bash.
Top tier. Now we know Matt the Mook has got the Burger King crown, without doubt.
He's doing well.
But Swamp Dog and Susie, these people, Paul, if I was on a shark-infested island, and those two were on that island with me, I'd jump in the damn water to get away from them. Horrible. They're just horrible. Let me talk about a theory I got.
Okay.
Let's go back to the South Florida game. As we all know, Saban and staff decided to start the other two quarterbacks instead of Milroe.
Correct.
I personally think that it caused a mutiny. I think the players came to him and told him he better put Milroe back in there. I think that's the first thing that shook Saban to the core.
Maybe you're right.
Well, I mean, those quarterbacks were sacked several times.
Yeah, nobody would even try to pull them up
off the ground.
Elmo, you and I have been down this road a few times. The story that Saban did that on purpose is not believable.
I know. That's just what I really think.
Well, no, I think you're right. I'm trying to remember.
Well, they went to the players-only meeting afterwards,
yeah, that's
remember?
Right. You're right, 100%.
And that's when they all got together and said, Milroe or else.
And suddenly it was else. Well said.
Thank you, Paul.
Always great. Thank you, Elmo. Be well. Take care of yourself. Bubba is up next.
Paul.
Yes.
This is not Bubba.
Oh, I'm sorry. Apologies. Will, we're having some issues with our communication board, so that's why I'm often getting the wrong name, but we'll see if we can work through that. Well, go ahead.
If Bubba's on the line, he's probably going to bring up what I'm going to bring up.
Bubba will be next.
How about Rick Barnes and the men's Tennessee regular season champions? That's probably what Bubba's going to talk about. I mean, regular season champions, Paul. Are you going to fill out your NCAA tournament bracket with just an orange marker all the way to the final four?
Yeah, I'll be very surprised if they don't make the final four.
Yeah. Legend was pretty shook up last night. Hearing all this, these interviews, I don't know what to make of it myself either, but Legend was sure shook up last night. But I just wanted to call in, Paul, and say, how about go big orange? How about Tennessee?
Appreciate it. We'll see if Bubba's on the same page. Hey, Bubba.
Yes, sir. Go big orange. Let me ask you a question, Paul. How long do you think Rick Barnes keeps coaching if he was to win a championship this year?
Not long.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And actually, I want to talk a little bit about Tennessee basketball, but this article this guy wrote has pissed me off something terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like this guy needs to get on the same soapbox that Iron Man stands on. Did Nick Saban just come out and say this in a statement, or was he asked a question in an interview?
You know, it was an interview with Chris Lowe. I don't know what the chain of command was in the interview.
Exactly. If you don't like scary answers, don't ask scary questions. He just came out and was being honest about it. And the problem, you nailed it on the head, Paul. It's the culture that he can no longer control. It ain't about the X's and the O's and necessarily the Jimmys and the Joes. He can put the ball players in the locker room. He can manage what's on the field. The culture has got away from Nick. And Nick's old school. He's not willing to start over at 72 years old trying to figure this all out, and I don't blame him. But all these grandstanders and podcast paparazzi, as I call them, and these so-called article writers, all they're putting out here is clickbait every time Nick opens his mouth about something. And the caller that said something about the USF game, that's probably not far off base right there. But I'm telling you, Nick's always been a total control coach. And when he saw that he no longer could control the culture he developed in a championship program at a college that has been dominant for years, the game of football in college, he knows it, has gone down the road, and it's not coming back. And at Nick's age and what he's accomplished, I don't blame the man. But all I'm going to tell you, if you don't like his answers, tough titty. Just get over it, dude. But don't sit there and bash the greatest coaches ever coached college football, because it's a crock, dude. He's earned the right to say whatever he's got on his mind. He earned the right to retire without a press conference. He don't owe anybody nothing. He don't owe the media nothing. He don't owe Alabama nothing. He got paid well to do what he did, but he did what they paid him to do. You know? And if you don't want his opinion, don't ask for it. But they're going to browbeat him to death. He's going to be an ESPN analyst or announcer or whatever. Just get ready, Paul. I hope they run Nick Saban in the ground, if no other reason than to drive I-Man insane.
Hey, thank you very much. We will take a short break. We are back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Chris is up next. Good afternoon, Chris.
Afternoon, Paul. Love your show. Been listening for a long time.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to start out by saying I'm a lifelong Alabama fan, 64 years old. And I used to follow a legend on Twitter until I found out he was a fraud, and was sickened by his actions that night. I take you back to the national championship game, Alabama versus Georgia. I can't remember how long ago it was, but we were down 28. I believe it was 28-0, or we were down 20. Alabama was down 28 points at half, and legend. Right at the end of halftime, legend started tweeting, "It's over. Alabama has screwed the pooch. They're not going to win this game. It's done. It's done. Georgia is the champion." And I was so disappointed, and I kind of argued back. I said, "Dude, it's halftime. You know, we can score 28 points in a second half." And he gave me some BS, so I stopped following him. But I listened to your show, and I see his I've seen his resurgence over the last year or two as this great caller of yours, but he's just not really an Alabama fan. I think he's just doing it all for show.
He is quite adept. Listen, Legend's an entertainer more than anything else. I appreciate your call. I'll be eager to hear what Legend has to say about it. Hey, thanks so much. Let's check in with Sammy in Nashville.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you again, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. The last time we spoke was the day before the man himself stepped down. So, you know, a lot has transpired since then, of course, with Saban going out. And, you know, I just wanted to chime in on a couple of things. You know, I train people for a living. And some of the things that Saban has said in, you know, some of the speeches he used to give that were not football focused, but more so in personal development, being, you know, detail oriented versus being outcome oriented and falling in love with the process and doing the little things right. All those things are what ultimately I see. Those things are missing from our society today. Everyone that I interact with, for the most part, they always want to go straight to the outcome, and they don't want to have to do anything to get there. And so when you guys talk about culture and philosophy and all these things that are changing in the world we live in, I see it. And I'm not even in the world of football. And so, you know, I just wanted to say that that is a cultural problem, and it's not a good thing at all. And it affects business. It affects personal lives. It affects everything, because if you're not willing to put in the work, then, you know, don't expect to get the big things right if you can't do the little things right. And so these kids now, you know, unfortunately, they're being affirmed in the way that they are acting as children. And instead of being able to develop into grown men that can contribute, you know, in ways to future NFL teams or companies that they may start or work for, you know, they're being taught to basically just do whatever you want to do, get the bag, and then go blow it on a Bentley, you know. And unfortunately, that's not what Saban's been about. I don't blame him for stepping out of it, because the reason he has been successful is because he helped people become better. It's not about winning and losing all the time. It's about, can he make a difference in the lives of these guys? And ultimately, he saw the writing on the wall. He sees how they act. And I see how people act. All you have to do is watch the news for 3 minutes and you see it. So, you know, last point I want to make on this is that the NFL, the quality of the players is going to suffer. And if you guys that watch both college and pro ball, don't think for 1 second that this will not have an impact on the quality of the football that you watch on Sundays. Because none of these players that can't, they don't know how to commit to anything, they're going to go into the pro game and they're going to get whipped by other people who are just as good as them, and their careers are going to be shorter than they already are, because they can't overcome adversity. And my last point is to the Tennessee and Auburn people that want to slam Alabama and they want to kick us now that Saban's gone, and they want to act like that, oh, we can't do nothing. All right, Kalen DeBoer, I got a lot of faith in that guy. I've done my research, and I think he'll do good things. But, you know, like Saban likes to say, mediocre people, they don't like high achievers. And high achievers, they don't like mediocre people. That's all I've got, Paul.
Thank you very much. What Sammy said is, I've heard Nick Saban say that a number of times, and I'll defer to the audience. But I was with a fairly prominent person recently in the world of athletics, an executive, and he said something very similar to what Sammy just said about younger people today. And I've always been a champion of young people. Because I remember when I was extremely young, nobody was a champion of us. Everybody acted like we were the worst generation. But Is it cultural? Is it societal? I mean, there's a lot of reasons for what we're talking about here. Let's continue and check in with Gary in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Paul, thanks for taking my call. I hope you're having a good day.
Thank you very much.
I can't better too much what Sammy just said. I want to say, though, that it's bothered me, all of this coming out and about Nick. And I'm not an Alabama fan, but I can tell you, as you may already know, I thought the world of Nick Saban, thank the world of Nick Saban. One of the things that has stood out for me for years with a Nick Saban team was they wouldn't have to be on the field. If an Alabama player was interviewed, they wouldn't need to put a subtitle place for Alabama. You knew he played for Saban just by the way he presented himself. I used to coach USA Boxing here in Wyoming for a few years, and I always liked the fact that boxing was a poor man's sport, I felt like. And a lot of the kids who would come down to the gym and that, they just couldn't afford to, the family couldn't afford to have them in other athletic programs, you know, and travel and what have you, and the money. And I hate what's happened that this came out about Nick, because it's the truth. He's a great man, and what he's did. And at times I think the game and what has happened over the years has kind of jumped into money a lot, and with coaching, with all of the demands and that. And I almost feel like it got ahead of Nick. I really do.
Hey, thanks so much for the call. I hate to rumble. We are out of time. Three hours to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.